Okay, B'siyata d'shmaya b'zat Hashem yitbarach. We're here in Shari Yichud Tzfat. We're going to be continuing our series on connecting to tzaddikim, and learning to how to connect to tzaddikim and how to develop this relationship. And we want to discuss the point of what is connection. What does it mean? We say connecting to tzaddikim. So we try to explain why we should connect to tzaddikim, and now we're going to talk about what is connection to begin with. What does that mean to connect? The idea of connection is love. The idea of love. It says in the Zohar that the students were always connected in love to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They always had a deep love connection to the person that was giving them over deeper aspects of Torah and ways to connect to Hashem. What does it mean to be connected to someone? To be one with them. Your intention is to love the tzaddik and to cling to him with a place of connection and dveikut, an attachment, clinging to them. Shatalmid nidbak be'ahava v'nichlal be'rabo v'libo betoch libo. That the student clings with love and includes himself into his rabbi, and his heart is inside his heart. Rabbi Nachman talks about this. There's different, many different levels of connections he had with his students. He said that there was those that were afuim b'lev, baked in my heart. There's a certain people that there's tons of people that come around. You're connected to some more than others, and then there was those that they were baked in the heart, meaning their place is in the heart. Talk a lot with the Rebbe. Don't talk a lot with the Rebbe. Doesn't matter. There's certain people that they show up to a community. After a while, they're in the heart of the tzaddik. But the main thing is not to have love to the tzaddik himself. It's to love his way and to love the shechina that's found on him. Again, we're going to repeat this again and again and again. The point is not to make the tzaddik into something more than God. We are connected to him because the path he has connects me to God. We connect to him because he has shechina resting on him. He's not the end goal. He's not the end goal. He is a person that's clarified the ways to get to the end goal. And by connecting to him, we merit to get closer to the end goal. Never, ever, ever, God forbid, to make the mistake of getting that confused, right? He's not the goal. Ki kol ma'alato shel tzaddik v'chol hasiba shu shoresh l'talmidav. The whole importance of a tzaddik and the whole fact that he is a root for all of his students, he dveikut nishpato b'shechina, it's only because his soul is attached in dveikut to the shechina that is dwelling on him. He becomes a pipeline to give over that light to all of the students. Right? Meaning it's not about him. He is such a good pipeline that I connect to the pipeline, but it's not about the pipeline. It's about what's coming in the pipe and how it connects to what's on the other side of the pipe, meaning me. How does God connect to me? And I can talk to Hashem by myself again. We've said it a bunch of times, right? The fact that we have to connect to tzaddikim doesn't mean that you cannot have a relationship to Hashem by yourself. You could, just there's levels to it. And how much of that you can actually have, that's not the same as him. Each one of us has ego and pride and bad actions and bad traits. And God doesn't want to dwell in a place like that. So yeah, you can connect to Hashem, but he can connect to Hashem more. So when you connect to him, now you start to benefit from the pipeline that he is, the light that he's bringing down. Therefore, only whoever is seeking out really a connection with Hashem, and his heart is glowing and burning for revelations of Hashem, to have Hashem in his life, everyone according to their level, right? Everyone's on different levels to this. Everyone knows what that means more or less. Some people live it more or less. Some people think about it more or less. Some people feel it more or less. Right? But everybody's on their journey, and they're trying to find a tzaddik that has this light on him, right? And whoever's seeking out this dveikut, this relationship with Hashem, when he sees and feels the shechina on the tzaddik, so then you start to love that person a lot. If you're seeking out God and you find a person that has a lot of godliness, you fall in love with that person. Right? Because On this point, that's where I find the common ground with him. I really want Hashem, and you have Hashem. So I love you. Right? It makes sense. Because the tzaddik, his whole entire idea is just to reveal godliness in the world. And by way of that, he connects with us with love, and we connect to him with love. Because love can only be found between people that are equal, people that are similar. Right? You have to have, so you could say, okay, my brother and I, we don't love each other that much. Like, we're not so similar. We love each other, but we're not similar, sorry. So yeah, okay, but you're in family. Meaning, you're similar family. You're in the same family. You have a connection. There is a connection point. Right? But to say, I love a person in the middle of China that I've never met, we're not similar, we don't look alike, we're not the same, not my family, I have nothing to do with him. I could love the idea of the person, he's a good person, I have love for him if he's doing good things in the world, but to say I love him for who he is, I can't say that. It's too far away. And here we have a tzaddik where I'm seeking out Hashem, he loves Hashem, he wants to reveal Hashem, I like when Hashem is revealed in the world. So now we have a lot in common with the tzaddik. Still, there's levels, and he does things that I could never imagine being able to do and getting to. But there's a common ground here. We both want Hashem in our lives. So the love is there. But whoever's seeking out other things and is not actually seeking out Kedusha, is not actually seeking out ways to become holier and more connected to Hashem in a lying true way, so then it doesn't have any importance for him to have a relationship with a tzaddik. We can see all the times, if we're people that are connected to tzaddikim, then we also have friends that are not, and that don't care about it as much. And I'm not telling you not to judge anybody, but just based on what we said, try to think in your mind. Your friends that are connected to tzaddikim, do they also have deep connections and desires to connect to Hashem? And those that don't want to come to the tzaddik, are they maybe not seeking out so much of a relationship with Hashem and in a holy way, in a kedusha way, in a kadosh way, from sanctity, from purity? Right? And then you start, this goes back to the idea of what we were talking about, right? If a person doesn't have the light of the Shekhinah on them, they just have information, so then do I need a connection with them? Answers they can give me. But I don't want answers, I want God. And they might not have God around them. They might not have a cloud of godliness around them because they're not seeking out God. They're just seeking out themselves and their own information or their own path. So then the question goes, do I need that person in my life? Because if my goal is to connect to God, so then I need to go to people that also their goal is to connect to God. Right? And not to take whatever God says of this world and to bring it into their own understandings, their own ways. And now we get to an extremely important point that works off of that last point, and that is, "Ein lasot mitziyut me'atzadik." God forbid to ever make a reality out of the tzaddik. The whole entire connection that we have to the tzaddik is only for the dveikut in a living God, meaning in Hashem, and it's forbidden. God forbid to make the tzaddik into the ikar, into the main, most important thing. Whether we're talking about tzaddikim that are alive here amongst us, or tzaddikim that are in the ground, holy tzaddikim that have passed from this world. Ki ha-tzaddik hu rak bivchinat shadchan. The tzaddik is only the aspect of a shadchan, of a matchmaker. That by way of him, you can come to true godliness, true dveikut in Hashem. Right, he's just there to connect you to Hashem. It's not about him. Ve'pashut ve'barur she'atzadik eno shum mitziyut elokut chas v'shalom. It's clear as day that God forbid to say that the tzaddik himself has any godliness himself. That he himself is godly, separate from Hashem. Has milazkir. God forbid to mention something like that. He's only a dwelling place for the light of the Shekhinah to come down. Meaning, since he's so nullified to the Shekhinah, and he sanctified himself very, very much, so then the Shekhinah is able to dwell on him and rest on him. And he becomes a vehicle of expression for that Shekhinah, right? That the Shekhinah, so to say, takes over him. Why vehicle? Why do we always say a vehicle, a merkava? Why a vehicle? Merkava has the letters Rochev inside of it. The Shekhinah, so to say, God sits on top of the person like he's a horse,
chariot.
Right? A chariot, right? But a chariot, a bit like a vehicle, meaning I get on top of it and I control if it's going to go right, left, what it's going to do, what it's going to say. Hashem wants a person to nullify himself that much to Hashem that Hashem feels as if he's a vehicle, as if he can come, sit inside of it. I start the engine, I say turn right, I say turn left, gas, brake. That's what Hashem wants us to be for him. Nullified to the point where Hashem's taking over. That's why the word is always chariot, vehicle, merkava. Because you want to be in the position, like, right, like it says, the Mashiach is poor and riding on a donkey. Why riding on the donkey? Donkey is the physicality, and the Mashiach rides on it, meaning I master the physicality. I take the physicality where I need it to go. I use this material world how I need to reveal Hashem, right? So the same thing. The tzaddik has become a donkey for Hashem. Chutz mikvodo, with all respect to them. Right? They become this merkava. They become, so to say, a physical being down here that nullifies themselves to the point where God can take over and use them to reveal Himself throughout the world. But God forbid to say that the person himself now has become something that he is godly. Right? He's just a merkava.
Become like a puppet.
Exactly, he's the puppet, and the Shekhinah is the hand inside the puppet, right? But exactly, he wants. That's all of our goals should be to understand that we are right. We need be a tool. We need to be a tool. The puppet is just a tool. The hammer is just a tool. If a person doesn't grab it to do something with it, it can't do anything. So too, we want to be nullified to Hashem with bitul to the level where we're just tools. That literally Hashem picks us up to do whatever it is that He needs to do, and we get no respect, no honor, no reward for our actions, no more ego, not to the positive side and not to the negative side, whether you're successful or you fail. I'm just here to serve Hashem. The tzaddikim do this to such a level that the Shekhinah is always there. The hand is always in the puppet. The hand is always in the puppet. It's not a separate entity, right?
How do you do that?
Torah and mitzvot. That's the tzaddikim do this all the time, and that's why we have to connect to them, because they have this level where the Shekhinah is always on them. But the goal is not them, the goal is the Shekhinah. Meaning the goal is not the puppet, it's the hand. Right? It's not what I see in this world, it's not necessarily that person across the street that's so holy that sits there. Why do we connect him so much? Because he has the light of God on him. Again, this sounds as if we're like no respect for the tzaddik. It's not about that. You have to respect that person. You have to honor him. Like we said, you have to, the connection is by way of love, right? And love, obviously, if you love someone, you treat them in a way of love. But what is the goal? Why all of that? Why are we stressing this so much to not make the tzaddik into too much? Because if you fall in love with a person because he has godly lights on him, and you're a spiritual person, you have a natural inclination to make that person into too much, to see him as too much, naturally. Right? Why is there such a problem of doing Avodah Zarah when you go to a kever? And we're about to talk about going to Kvarim, right? And how do you talk to the tzaddik when you're a kever? Do you talk to a tzaddik? If you're a natural spiritual person, if you're a spiritually inclined person and you go to a kever and you feel something, very quickly you could fall into the worst things in Judaism. That you're meant to die before doing them. Avodah Zarah, idol worship, is completely, completely forbidden to the point where you're meant to take your life before doing it. And people show up to tzaddikim, and they go to the kever, and they start talking to the tzaddik, and asking things from the tzaddik, as if he's God. As if he can do any of those things. That is avodah zarah outright. It's very dangerous. So here we are again, just stressing the point, do not get it twisted. He's a human being just like you. He just has worked on himself so much that there is godly lights on him. Not that he is godly, that godly lights rest on him. What is your goal when you're coming to attach yourself and connect to a tzaddik? To get the Shekhinah, not him. Not him. Madriga ashra v'agilui hi lefi madrigat tzaddik. How much ashra, how much presence of the Shekhinah is there, how much godliness is on that place, in the shul, on that tzaddik, that goes to the level of the tzaddik. Like there are 10 levels of sanctity in the land of Israel, right? All of the land of Israel, the walls around Jerusalem, inside the walls, in the walls of the Beit HaMikdash, in the Beit HaMikdash, in Azara, in Eichal, in Kodesh HaKodeshim, there's 10 levels of sanctity, right? So too, there's different levels of revelation of Shekhinah, right? The light in Afula or Tel Aviv is not the same light in Tzfat, Tveria, which is not the same light in Yerushalayim, which is not the same light inside the Old City, which is not the same light at the Kotel, which is not the same light on Har HaBayit.
So
there's levels of sanctity.
When someone's sick or when really someone's upset, go to the Tavor of the Ari and ask for blessing, you know?
Correct.
We'll get there. We'll talk about it.
You're not allowed to make a reality of the tzaddik himself. God forbid. Misho say avodah zara mi bnei adam ve'af mi tzaddikim areim nichlal b'minim ve'abikorsim. Whoever makes avodah zara from human beings, even from tzaddikim, he's included in what's called minim, meaning Christians and people that had left Judaism. And Apikosim, heretics. Completely asur. There's nothing in the world that could send Hashem off the edge more than Avodah Zarah. It's the worst thing in the world.
Well, when you go to a living tzaddik, you ask him for something and you know it's through Hashem. So,
what do you mean you ask him for something?
No, dude, you should be like, hey, I'm having a problem with this and whatever. And you know you're not going to an idol or something.
What does it mean to ask? Ask the question. Say the ask. It's a fine line. If it's Rebbe, give me of Hashem, give me money, give me this, I need money, I need money, can you give me money? So then you're talking like he's God. That's Avodah Zarah. If he says, Rebbe, I have no money, could I have a blessing for money? So then, I can give you a blessing. There's no problem to give you a blessing. Rebbe, can you pray to Hashem that I get money? Great, no problem. What are you asking him to do? Talk to Hashem. I need blessing in my life. I need money. To say, hey, Rebbe, I need money. You just prayed to a human being.
What if you say, Rebbe, I need to learn the Hebrew, be able to talk so I can talk to Hashem, connect him more. Is that still obligatory?
If you believe in your head that the Rebbe is going to put Hebrew in your mind and you're just going to start learning,
through Hashem.
What do you mean through Hashem? So then ask him to give you a bracha. Don't ask him for the thing. Talk to Hashem. That's what we're saying here.
Okay.
If you walk up to a person, a human being, and you tell him, give me this, as if he's God, you just did idol worship. I'm not saying you did this, right?
Okay.
But I'm saying anybody that goes up to a tzaddik, dead or alive, and says to them, say, for example, people go to the Ari, right? The example you said, again, we're not there yet. We'll talk about it very soon. Let's get there. One second. Asher led machshabat tfisya beklal, right? Us, en lanu ela emunah v'borei yitbarach etzmo. All we believe in is Hashem himself. We don't believe in human beings. We don't believe in other people. We can have emunah in them because Hashem said to have emunah, not them that they're going to answer our prayers. We want Hashem. And Hashem, there's no mind that can grasp Hashem. In order to merit a Shekhinah, though, I have to go to the place where it's dwelling. Where is the Shekhinah dwelling in this world? In the holy places and on the holy people. But my goal is the Shekhinah, not the people. Meaning, when I go to the Western Wall, what's my goal? To be at the Western Wall or to talk to Hashem? What do I need stones for? I don't need stones. It just happens to be. We have a promise that the Shekhinah will never move from that place. So I go to that place. Why? Because the Shekhinah is there. The Wi-Fi is better there. What do I need? The router? The goal is the router. The goal is the stones and the bricks. That's why our rabbi said for the last 2,000 years, God forbid a Jew mourns the destruction of the temple. For the temple. Meaning, what are you crying about? A building? Real estate was destroyed? That's what's breaking your heart? It's not about the real estate. It's not about the building. Thank God Hashem destroyed the building. It didn't kill us. It's about the light that's there in the building. It's not about the building. So too, the tzaddikim are compared to the Beit HaMikdash. Is it about them? No. And no one would walk up to the Beit HaMikdash and pray to the Beit HaMikdash to get something. Pray to Hashem. You talk to Hashem. Same thing with the tzaddikim. We can go ask for bracha. We go ask this. But it's not about them. It's about Hashem.
But you said for a tzaddikim have a better, since the Shekhinah rests on them, so they're a better channel to get to Hashem.
Exactly, that's what we're saying. ובאמת, כיוון שעבודה להתקשר בצדקים היא גדולה, since this job of connecting, this work, the spiritual work tool of connecting tzaddikim is such a big thing, שלידם זוכים לראות פני השכינה, because by way of them we merit to see the face of the Shekhinah, the countenance of God in the world. Like the Zohar says, my Pnei Adon Abaya, Da Rashbi. What is the face of Hashem? That's Rashbi. That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Crazy thing. Not again that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the physical face of God. God doesn't have a face. But the shining countenance, where is the highest level of Shekhinah revealed in the world? That is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Where is the face of God? So to say, right? The face in Hebrew is called Pnimiyut. The inner aspect is revealed on the face. I can tell by a person's face if they're in a good mood, a bad mood, if they're stressed, if they're feeling good, relaxed. You can see everything in the face. The face is the portal to the inner world. Where is the face of God? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. How do you want to know the inner aspects of what Hashem is revealing in the world? The Zohar Kadosh, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Tikkunei Zohar, Zohar, Zohar Chadash. These are things where you get it. From Rashbi, you have a revelation of the inner aspects.
The people were able to see words on people's foreheads.
Correct. Correct. So that's where you have to be the more careful. You have to be super careful in that place to do the work in a proper way and not to make such a mistake on such a high, lofty level. Right? ולא לעשות שום מציאות וישות וכוח מהצדיק, and never to make any reality, any being, essence, separate entity out of a human being. God forbid, that is completely against the Torah. Right? We have the best example for this as Jews. There was a Jew 2,000 years ago that for a long period in his life was very holy, and at a certain point he went off, and the Jews around him made him into a god, and into a prophet, into a Messiah. And to this day, you have 2 billion people that pray, worship, or believe that this dead Jewish man is either God, close to God, or he was such a good miracle worker that he's worthy of praise. What was the actual reality back then? He was a Jew that knew Kabbalah very well. At a certain point, he went off and started to do miracles in public in front of very simple people.
Who is it?
And these... You don't have to think that what Jew is being worshipped by 2 billion people in the world. There's only one, right? So he went off and he started to do all this crazy stuff in the world. And weak people, without deep learning and without real true knowledge of deep Kabbalah, saw a man turning, you know, water into wine and walking on water. And you think, wow, that's trippy. Let's pray to him. And to this day, these fools are making this mistake. That's what happens when you take these teachings and you twist them. People have a hard time connecting when they come to Hasidut, to hearing this idea of connecting to the tzaddik. Why? Because we grew up in America in a Christian place. So we think that connecting to a man, that's Christianity. No, Christianity was an early Jewish religion that went off the path. A lot of their ideas are extremely deeply rooted in Torah and in Kabbalah. When misunderstood and done wrongly, you get Christianity. So now that's why we're being very careful here. Do not end up on that same path of you see him doing miracles, you see him giving blessings, you see him doing this, that, and the other, and then you make him into a reality that, so to say, you're bowing down to a man, praying to a man, and asking for a man, whether dead or alive, for things that are beyond blessing, for actual, you're asking to him, you're praying to the man to give you the salvation. That is a huge, huge, huge no-no. It is one of the three things in Judaism that you are literally meant to die before doing. Since it's so accessible, there's such room for mistake, just know, if you ever ask a tzaddik for something, you are doing avodah zarah. Unless it is asking for him to pray for you, to arouse mercy for you, for him to connect to God for you. Not for him to play God for you.
Is that why they use him sometimes? He can use like a dollar bill or use handkerchief or something.
No, different ideas. Different ideas. The dollar bill was the Rebbe wanted to give you money for you to do a good action in the world, right? And for a lot of times also when they give you a blessing, they want to give you something physical for us because we're on such a low level. Right, like the Baba Sali used to give people blessings that they would get healed from cancer and then give them an olive or a bottle of water and tell them to drink the bottle of water as if the blessing's inside the bottle of water. Is it as well, but is it about the bottle of water? Is it about that, or is it about the fact that the Shekhinah is on the Baba Sali and when he tells you you're healed of cancer, you're healed of cancer because the Shekhinah said it through his throat? It's not about the bottle of water. And there are stories of people that went to the Baba Sali, got a bottle of water with a blessing, they walked out of the house, left, they didn't really have emunah, the tzaddik in his heart knew that they didn't have emunah, and he sent his gabbai to go get the bottle of water back. So now, what's the problem with the bottle of water? Why can't I keep the bottle of water? You don't believe in the blessing, so you don't need the bottle of water. The bottle of water was blessed now. I'll give it to someone else that does have the blessing. So it's not about the bottle of water, but the bottle of water at a certain point does become a vehicle, like the tzaddik became a vehicle, right? It's really about the Shekhinah always. Ah, but I have to go to this physical person to tap into that. Okay, and that physical person told you, take this physical object and do something with it and you'll get the blessing. So it's this trickling down of things, but never, God forbid, to make the dollar into something and not to make the bottle of water into something. Right? And not to make the tzaddik into something. Go ahead.
And the idea of the becoming a vessel so you can, like Hashem could drive you, it's not a tzaddik driving you, and that's the problem with the people. They believe that some Jew can drive him. You want to become a bidol, so Hashem can drive him.
Correct. But with that said, that if the tzaddik tells you to do something, you got to do it.
Okay.
You got to do it. If that's your tzaddik, if that's who you're connecting through, that when he tells you to do something, you do it. I mean, you have 5,000 Chabadnikim across the world right now because the Rebbe said, I want you guys to be out there for Jewish people across the world. So how am I going to move with my family to the middle of India and open up a synagogue there? Yeah. Because the tzaddik said. And you see that those people have blessing that do it, right? Because they're acting on the will of the tzaddik. But the tzaddik is doing that, again, from a place of such nullification to Hashem. Meaning when the Rebbe says, go out and put on tefillin across the world and people, that's an instruction from him, from the Shekhinah, not from the Rebbe. You get what I'm saying? We see it clearly. Israel was in a very bad place. There was about to be an existential war here. The Rebbe goes out and starts getting everybody in the world to put on tefillin. Israel miraculously quadruples the size of its land and conquers everything and defends itself from five armies in 6 days.
In 6 days,
right? And all of that was a huge bracha that came to make sure that would be that way is from Jews across the world putting on tefillin. So who was it that said to put on tefillin in the end? God or the Rebbe?
Hashem.
How did he do it though? Through the throat of the tzaddik of the generation. Right? And that, so we have to understand these things a little bit to get how it works, right? But it's never, ever, ever, ever the tzaddik. The tzaddik's so nullified that he gets thoughts, he gets insights, he gets downloads, he gets these things. Like Reb Nachman, for example. Reb Nachman, all the Torah that he was saying, 250 years ago. It was barely relevant for his generation. That's why there was so much machloket on him. So why are you saying all these things that have nothing to do with the people in front of you? The Shekhinah is talking to your Torah. At a certain point, there's going to be Jews that need all of this information. Right? And Breslov is only in this world for 30 years. Before that, you were completely shunned if you were a Breslov. There's 500 families in the world, and all of them were looked down upon. Now you look in a world where you look everywhere, everything's Breslov, 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 Breslov. How? That's what you see when the Shekhinah and God talks through the throat of a tzaddik 200 years ago in the small town in the middle of nowhere, and now everybody's talking to him. About in the point now where that small town is about to get flooded with 60,000 Jews from across the world to come party there, right, and connect to Hashem and celebrate, crown Hashem in the darkest place in the world. Shekhinah coming through, but it's not about the person. It's not Reb Nachman that I'm praying to. It's not Reb Nachman that I need to get salvation from. It's Reb Nachman that was able to give advice that can bring me to salvation. Reb Nachman that can bring me advice that can take me to beautiful places in connection to Hashem. My goal is Hashem. My goal is Hashem. Asur levakesh me'atzadik. Now we got to the point with all of your preliminary questions. You guys can't wait. Here we are now. We got up to it. It's forbidden to ask anything from the tzaddik. The tzaddik has no ability himself and no power himself. God forbid to say something like that. It's clear as day that the tzaddik cannot do anything by himself. And all of his power, the only power a tzaddik has is to pray to Hashem to draw down mercy. And it's forbidden to think that the tzaddik is able to do anything from himself or to ask anything from him, that he himself should do something inside of the creation. Because that is avodah zara mamash. 100% idol worship. Ki v'edai ein koach l'shum nivra ba'olam la'asot me'atzmo klum. There is no power for any human being, no creature in this world to do anything by itself. Completely no reality. אבל מותר לבקש מהצדיק שיתפלל עלינו להשם יתברך. It is permissible to ask for the tzaddik to pray for us. Right? You can do this at your grave, the grave of your parents, your grandparents, and even more so at a tzaddik. Person goes to the oil in Queens, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You can say, Rebbe, please pray up above that we have more mercy down here in the world. Jews are being attacked, there's anti-Semitism in the world, Israel's at war.
Well, that's why they're
Rebbe, please pray above that there should be mercy down here.
Right.
To say, Rebbe, we need mercy here. Rebbe, give us mercy. Arouse mercy. Rebbe, save the soldiers. Rebbe, bless the Jews down here that they should have money. Give us money down here. All of that, avodah zarah mamash. And I didn't mean to pick on the Lubavitch Rebbe. This goes for any tzaddik in the world. Right? וכמו שמצינו בכמה מקראות שבקשו ישראל ממשה רבנו ושמואל הנביא שביקשו שיתפלל באדם. We see that the Jews, right, a few examples in the Torah where they went to Moshe Rabbeinu, they went to Shmuel HaNavi, and they said, please pray for us. They were alive, right? You can do this when they pass away as well, but they were alive. And they didn't come to Moshe, 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 save us. No, Moshe, Moshe, pray to Hashem, that Hashem should save us.
What do you think about the English?
Let's stay on the topic. Echen bekama ma'amarei Chazal. So too, in a few different words from Chazal, we see that the tzaddikim were asked, the leaders of the generation were always asked to pray to Hashem. Vayisuhu, the prohibition is, shemitkaven la'asot et tzaddik le'emtza'i. When you're making the tzaddik into a goal, into the goal, and not just a way, right? Dinu shechoshev kiilu hakoach nitan lo achshav hu shelo, right? As if right now the power is given to the tzaddik, and now the tzaddik has the power to do whatever it is separate from God. Yeah, he was a holy person. He was so holy that he has the ability. No, no, no. Doesn't matter how holy he'll ever get, like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Doesn't matter how holy you get, it's still only in Hashem's hands. And then we have the idea that we mentioned before, that we have to connect our tefillah to the tzaddik as well. We have to understand that clearly. It's not, God forbid, that when I come to connect to the tzaddik, I make him that my tefillahs are connected to him, right? God forbid, and it's about him. Beninu levin konenu, ela hu rak kumo shaliach tzibur. It's not that I pray to the tzaddik and now the tzaddik is going to pray to Hashem and I can't talk to Hashem. It's not that. The tzaddik is a shaliach tzibur. The tzaddik is like a emissary, like a chazan, like a representative of the congregation. Meaning, a personal person and the tzaddik pray together to Hashem. The minion and the tzaddik together pray to Hashem. And by way of them being connected, their tefillah becomes one tefillah. הכלולה מהאנשים הפשוטים יחד עם השליח ציבור. Now the tefillah is included, right? From the simple people in the minion, in the congregation, and the shaliach tzibur, and the representative of the congregation. That he, the shaliach tzibur, knows how to arouse mercy, and how to talk to God, and how to bring down all the things that we need. Right? He's the emissary, and that's the tzaddik. So when I come to connect my prayers to the tzaddik, what am I doing? I'm about to step into Shacharit. The tzaddik in the world somewhere too. Remember we said there's this one big tzaddik in the world that's leading the generation. We don't have to know who it is, but there is someone always. So when I come to pray, I say, okay, I'm connecting myself to Hashem and to all the tzaddikim, and specifically the tzaddik of the generation. Not that I'm praying to him, I'm connecting to him. What does that mean? I'm appointing him as my shelech tzibur. He's my representative. Now when we step into pray, what happens? He's praying and I'm praying. And together, since he's representing me, my prayer is included in his prayer. And he comes and talks to Hashem and knows how to draw down all of the shef in the abundance. And the shaliach tzibur needs the tzibur. And the tzibur needs the shaliach tzibur. Right? The representative needs he needs them who he's representing. And those that are being represented need the representer. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
And together, their prayer has fruit up above. Like the Kohen Gadol and the rest of the Jewish people. Right? On Yom Kippur, back in the times of the temple, people don't know this because we're all used to reading thousands of pages on Yom Kippur and standing up for 18 plus hours praying. Back in the day, you went to the temple, the Kohen did all of the work. The rest of the nation just stood there saying amen and bowing down. You had to fast, You had nothing to pray. You didn't show up to the temple with a sidur with 1,000+ pages in. You didn't do all of that. You showed up to the temple. The Kohen Gadol did everything and you said amen. And you had atonement. Ah, what happened here? What, I don't have to pray for my own atonement? I showed up. I'm included in the minyan. I said amen. I'm part of the minyan. Who's davening? The tzaddik. Yeah, of course, I have thoughts of prayer. It's in my heart. But that's how it was in the temple. So now that we all have sidurim, and now we're all mini Kohen Gadols, right? And we show up, we each have tefillin, which you didn't have back then, that everybody had tefillin. We each have our own talit. We each have our sidur. We show up, we're all doing our own individual work. So now what? You don't have a representative? There's no more shaleich tzibur? There is. It's called the tzaddik of the generation. You connect your tefillah to him. Together you're praying, but he's the representative. He's the one that's going to stand in front of God and bring down all of the shefa with you in mind, with all of your work inside. Like it's written in the Ramak, in the Ilema, he says, "V'niyana tzaddik shu ma'ala kol ha'tfilot." The tzaddik elevates all of the prayers, and he brings down the shefa. The intention is not, God forbid, that you have to ask for the shefa from the tzaddik. Everything is only dependent on the hand of Hashem, blessed be He. The intention is that in the schut of the tefillah of the tzaddik, in the merit of his prayers, Hashem will receive the rest of the prayers and will bring down to the world shefa. Therefore, it's as if all of the tefillot ascended and the shefa came down by way of the hand of the tzaddik. As if. Right? You guys are with me? Since he's the one that caused all the prayers to go up, and he's the one that caused the shefa to come down. And by way of that tefillah and his avodah, now we're all benefiting. Therefore, even practically, the tzaddik is the one that ascends the prayers. All of the prayers. Even though that's the case, the prayer of the tzaddik is just like an axe in the hand of the lumberjack. Meaning, really, Hashem is doing everything. It's just that he hears the prayer of his tzaddikim, of his holy people, and he elevates their prayers, and together with him, with them, with his prayers, all the prayers of Am Yisrael. You get it? Okay, following? Any questions? Yes, sir.
So there's the tzaddik of the generation, and then there's also Mashiach in every generation. Is it one of the same, or is it like there's the tzaddik and there's Mashiach? Because like during David Melech, he had Shmuel and Navi, right? And then it was David.
Correct.
So it was like, and they go hand in hand.
So historically, we always had a prophet and a king. Shmuel and David, right? Shmuel and Shaul. Yes. We always had that. Now, one time it was unified. And it wasn't even really, was Moshe. And even then there was Aaron. Aaron was talking to the people. Moshe wasn't really talking to the people so
Moshe
much.
Moshe was Moshe, right? And Aaron was like the Sadduk.
Correct, right? But there really, Moshe was kind of had both, right? But since then, yes, it was always that there's the king and there is the prophet. I don't know what to say now, right? But this is now in our generation, this is the aspect of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef would be the one that brings all the people together and unifies all the people. The more the Ruach, the more the Ruach, right? And then the Mashiach ben David goes out, he's like the king and fights the wars and does all that, right? But there's many tzaddikim that said they were split. Reb Nachman says that they're unified. Meaning one person is going to come and he is going to be Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David together. And so again, we don't know. No one knows. Not Reb Nachman, no one knew. No one knew, and even Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what it's going to look like and what it's going to be like. Hashem knows, right? But yes, like for example, Lubavitch Rebbe, you see, as a person that kind of did both. He embodied both. Spiritual leader and organizational national leader.
Yeah, but not like on the battlefield.
Why not? Standing for 15 hours every Sunday receiving whoever walks into his office of all different types. That's the battlefield.
Not like a physical battlefield. Like
correct, right? But he was, meaning he sent soldiers across the world. The spiritual, right? There was no physical Jewish war at the time. It was just after Holocaust.
Rabbi Akiva thought Bar Kokhba was Mashiach because of his physical strength.
Correct.
He was like an actual general. But then there was Rabbi Elazar. I just read this, that he was like the tzaddik of the generation. And then they thought he went against Bar Kokhba and he killed him himself. And then that's how he lost his whole kind of leadership. But see, he was like a physical leader also.
Right.
So I'm just trying to understand.
So, but now in our times where it's physical leader, I mean, where we don't have a little, we have a military, right? But no, there's been three generals in the IDF with a kippah on their history, meaning there's no rabbi that's going to, there's no tzaddik that's going to come now and become the leader of the IDF in 2 seconds. It's not going to happen that way, right? So what physical needs do we have, though, as a nation? There's people trying to make businesses, people in government, people, and all those people were coming to the Babich Rebbe in his time. Meaning he was the physical general. He was also the spiritual general. In our generation, it might be split up that they have like a leader, right? That's like, for example, I don't know, in our generation, you have the Yanuka who's dealing with everybody, and then you have Rav Itchamar who's dealing with like, you know, spiritual Indian more, right? And I don't know. Again, I don't know what to say, who out, but there's ideas that are unified and it's one person. There's ideas that you have, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Right? Again, what are we saying? The tzaddik is the axe in the hand. Hashem is the one doing everything. And he just hears these prayers by way of this. So now what happens? It's not that I'm turning to the tzaddik in my prayer so that the tzaddik will elevate my prayers because I can't do it, because I don't know how to pray to God. It's not that the goal is the tzaddik, that I pray to him and okay, I'll pray to you and you take my prayers and you send them to Hashem. God forbid, I'm praying to Hashem. I'm just connected to you, and I appoint you as my messenger, and connected to the tzaddik, in order to connect my prayers into his prayers, so that they'll go together to Hashem. That Hashem always has a lust and a desire to hear the prayers of the tzaddikim. So Hashem's going to hear his prayer, but if I have a relationship with him, and I'm in his mind, he has me in mind, and we're going together, we're, so to say, partners in his prayer, right? And then it becomes like one neshama, and it's as if we're praying together to Hashem. But for sure, it is forbidden to make a reality of the tzaddik as if the chef is dependent on him. God forbid, that as if he himself is what's causing all the blessing in the world, separate from God. It's him, because he's nullified to God, he has the ability to get his prayers heard and for the chef to come down. And then here comes, right, this one big neshama. And this is the reason that everybody has to be connected to the tzibur, right? Like it's like we know from the Arizal, that you have to receive upon yourself before you even start shacharit, before you pray. This is what's written on the Arizal's tombstone. I am hereby receiving upon myself the positive commandment from the Torah to love every Jew as myself. Why? Why does the Arizal say you have to say that before prayer? Like you have to connect to the tzaddik, you have to connect to every other Jew. Those that are above you and those that are below you. And together as one soul, we're all praying to Hashem and we're all going to ascend up. Right? So there's the idea of connecting your prayers to the tzaddik, and there's also the idea of connecting your prayers to everybody in Am Yisrael, including the reshaim, including all of the people that are against Hashem in this world and that want to make reforms and make parades and all these different things in the world that are outright an abomination to Hashem. Even them are connected in our tefillot. B'shem kol Yisrael, in the name of all of Israel, we're coming to do this. And like we need to connect with all of Am Yisrael specifically, we have to connect with the tzaddik, with the head, with the smartest of all of them, with the most connected out of all of them, because he knows more how to please his God from such a level of understanding and Torah knowledge and prayer and good actions. He's reached to a level where he knows how to talk to Hashem to bring down, right? Hashem told Moshe, I want to destroy the nation. What did Moshe do? He started to argue with Hashem. What did Moshe say? Hey, you could kill them. Yeah, no problem. Of course, you're God. But if you kill them, what are the Egyptians going to say? That worked. For whatever reason, that hit Hashem in a place where, okay, I won't kill them. Did Aaron have those words? Did Aaron know how to talk to Hashem like that? Could Aaron have talked to Hashem like that? Could Yeshua? No, in that generation, it was only Moshe Rabbeinu that had the ability to walk up to God and to say, no. And if you do this, take me out of the Torah. I don't want to be part of the Torah. Who in the right mind can go to Hashem like that? So Reb Nachman says we should all have a flavor of this, that we're able to go to the tzaddikim and go to Hashem and fight for what we need, right? Holy chutzpah, azud kedusha, right? But the truth is, when we come to pray, And I have kavanah in every single word to bring down the shefa, to take every word we say and elevate it up to his place in order to bring down the shefa back. There's one person in the world that really, really, really knows how to do that. And there's a few others in the world that know how to do it as well. And they are connecting to him as well. So we all might as well just go to the head. There's one tzaddik in the generation elevating all of the prayers. Let's pray with him, not to him. With him. Every time I come to pray, let's connect. They'll be connected with him. When I do tikkun klali and I say, Reni mikasher, that's me. L'chol tzaddikim, I'm connecting myself, right? And by the way, if you say tikkun klali, you have to say that part in the front before the tehillim starts. That you are connecting yourself to Reb Nachman. How does it help to say tikkun klali without connecting yourself to the tzaddikim that know what tikkun klali is? You know it? Do you know how to do all the kavanot there? No. So connect yourself. Same thing in Shachrit, same thing in Mincha, same thing in Aravit. We're not praying to him, we're praying with him. The whole idea is to make all of Am Yisrael one neshama and all of our tefillot one tefillah. And this feeling of connection in tefillah is to feel that my soul and the soul of the tzaddik is one soul. And we are praying together, like it's parts of the body, right? That's praying on another part of the body. It's not that he's separate. It's that we're one body, we're one being. And therefore, everybody has to come together, right? This is the chelbona in the ketoret. Ah!
Stop!
Ma?
Prati.
Bevadai prati.
Shabti moris posh.
Lo, en moris. Vakashala.
Now it's going bad. You close again alone. Close. Thank you. Wow.
I'll be witnesses. Why I don't want this to be remote. So now you gotta get something to drill a nail in there that it can't be open like that.
What's that?
Yeah, there are people across the street that come in here.
I know. Yeah. Right now I'm talking to you guys, right? That's Kitsu. We all want to become one neshama, we all want to be unified, and we want to pray together. Last idea here, we're going to finish up, sorry. This is the idea of going to Kivrei Tzadikim, to the Kevers of Tzadikim. There's a few different approaches. We're going to clarify all of them. Save your questions for them, okay? First one is the Shita of the Maharil. The Maharil writes in Ilchot Ta'anit, Alachaz of fasting, Val yesima gamato neged amitim. Don't ever put your intentions towards the dead. Meaning, don't ever pray to dead people. Mishum doresh al amitim. So we have a clear prohibition in the Torah to ask for something from dead people, right? To evoke spirits, to all this. It's a prohibition. Ela yivakesh v'Hashem yidbarach sheiten alav b'zchut ha'tzadikim shochnei afar. Rather, you ask Hashem, I need help in the merit of the tzaddik that's buried here. I'm praying to you, Hashem, for help. Don't ever ask the tzaddik for anything. You go to a tzaddik, you go to the kever, let's say here the Arizal. You go to the Arizal. Why go to the Arizal according to the Maharil? Because there's immense shechina on that kever. And when you're there, what do? Hashem, I need healing in the merit of the Arizal. Please, can I have healing? One shita of how to do kivrei tzaddikim. Second shita. There's a few achronim that have a machloket against the Maharil on this. There's Dei Chemed, Minchat Elazar, and they allow a person to ask from the tzaddik that passed away that he should pray for them. I'm not asking the tzaddik for anything. I'm asking the tzaddik in Shemaim, in heaven, to pray for us. Ve'en b'zeh shu midora shel amitim. This is not asking of anything from the dead. Because the tzaddikim, when they're dead, are called alive. Like Rabbi Shimon said to his son, Rabbi Elazar, but whoever comes to the tzion of the tzaddik and asks from the tzaddik a certain request, and his intention is that the tzaddik has the ability in his own hand to do that thing, to fulfill that request, and not that the tzaddik needs to pray to God for it, that is like Avodah Zarah, God forbid, right? You think that he can do it, that Arizal can bring you healing, and not that the Arizal has to pray to Hashem to bring you healing? That's like Avodah Zarah.
Therefore, alive, right? So he can
therefore, Yirei Adam, person should see to be very, very, very careful with their speech and with their thoughts. To not say anything that could sound as if you're asking the tzaddikim. And I can tell you outright, in my years of Kibbutz Tzaddikim, I've heard outright Avodah Zarah. You hear it. If you pay attention, not that you should be looking for this, but I'm very cautious of this before I ever read these pages. This is how I felt in my heart, like the Ma'aril. I still, to this day, I personally act like what the Ma'aril says. I go to the Tzaddikim, and I talk to Hashem in the Zchut the Tzaddik. Why? I am a spiritual person, and I do feel energies. And if I start to connect to a Tzaddik too much, there's no way I'm going to do Avodah Zarah. So in order to fence myself off, I make a fence. I only talk to Hashem. I'm not telling you guys what to do. Here you have different approaches, right? But the tzaddik is just praying for us and not God forbid, that they have the power to do it. And if you find in a book something that teaches you not this, if you see in any book anything that says not in a different way, the intention is that tzaddik has the ability to nullify the decrees. They can bring down salvation by way of them praying to God. That's what they mean. If the book ever tells you that tzaddik has the ability to nullify decrees, the tzaddik has the ability to bring down Yeshua, how can they say that against everything we're saying so far? The intention is that they have the ability to pray to nullify decrees. They have the ability to pray to bring down Yeshua. Not that they themselves have the ability to give blessings and to bring down. Why? Because they nullify themselves to Hashem again. But it's very clear. Sha'poel emet b'chol abriya v'ashofet v'oseh u'raka melech ha'kadosh levado. It's very clear that the only one that's doing anything, the only judge, the only doer, the only one making anything happen in the world is only Hashem, the King Himself alone. And the tzaddikim are nullified to Hashem, and they have no power themselves, not at all, God forbid. I'm just reading the book. This is not my emphasis. This is everything I'm emphasizing, it's because it's bold in the book. Anytime I say God forbid, it's because it's in the book. This is one of the tzaddikim telling us, God forbid, you make me even into, right? This is a holy, holy person that's telling us this. He could very easily flip it and say, yeah, we're the tzaddikim, we're... It's not the truth. The truth is Hashem's behind everything. We can't ever get that confused. It's always, always, always about Hashem. But even to this opinion that you can talk to the tzaddik and tell the tzaddik, hey, Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak, please go and pray to Hashem for mercy on me. Even to that opinion, the kavanah, the intention is not that the tzaddik has his own power, God forbid. It's just that we make known the pain of the living so that the dead will have pain with us. And then they'll, out of their mercy, go pray to Hashem to arouse mercy on us. And then we get the salvation. Meaning, I can now go to a kever. They're in the world of truth. They're the world of souls. And they know that we're connected. Every Jew is connected. They feel that over there. And now I stand next to their kever and I start to cry and cry and cry to Hashem. My pain is now known to the tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't want me to be in pain. So what does he do? He goes and ascends and prays to Hashem. Now, I cause them to be in pain. I'm interrupting their sleep, so to say. On a certain level, you go to the kever and you cry and you beg and you make noise. You're interrupting their sleep. What's going on here? The tzaddik says, look, what's going on? I'm in Gan Eden. I'm chilling. What's all this noise next to my kever? Sees a Jew crying his eyes out. What does the tzaddik do? Praise to Hashem. Give mercy to this Jew. B'chol ofan, af lematirim ledaber im tzaddik. In any way, even for those that allow you to talk to the tzaddik in the way that you're asking him to pray for you. Ein la'asot mize ikar. Do not make this the thing. The main thing is to ask Hashem Himself in the merit of those that are resting there in the dirt. It's very important to know that a big part of the idea of going to the tzaddikim is to connect to their neshama and to receive and to absorb from their light, because the tzaddikim want to help Jews in Avodat Hashem. They want to help you. They want to help you connect. And whoever is coming to their kever and seeking out to receive from their holiness, to receive from their path, to receive from their teachings, can merit to get a nitzotz from their light and from their Torah. And the way is to learn a little bit from their Torah of that same tzaddik at his kever, and then you pray to Hashem that you merit to receive from the light and the level of that tzaddik, and then you have intention to connect your nefesh to the nefesh of the tzaddik, and that you should have deep dveku to Hashem, and by way of that you can receive the spark from the light of the soul of the tzaddik to receive more power for what? Avodat Hashem. Meaning, why are you getting any blessing from the tzaddik? Why would you get any spark of the tzaddik soul? Only to serve Hashem better. But it always comes back to Hashem. It's always about Hashem. Bezat Hashem, we have to be careful with this last part of connecting yourself to tzaddikim like that, trying to draw down from their soul. Something that should only be done with immense caution and clarity. And if you have any question in your mind right now whether you should do it or not, the answer is no. If you have the question in your mind, the answer is no. If you don't have the question and you think you know what you're doing, batzlacha, you probably also shouldn't be doing it. But we can talk more about how to do it. Bezat Hashem. That is the idea for today. Next time we get on this topic, again, of connecting tzaddikim, we're going to be learning about which tzaddikim to connect to. Who should we even be looking to connect to? Who are they? What do they behave like? What do they look like? Bezat Hashem. For now, this is our teachings, connecting to the tzaddik.